So you just want to be very comfortable and very at ease, as if you're at home in your own body, and you just feel relaxed. So you may want to just, again, whatever's happening over there, watch where your mind goes. It's almost like your mind wants to go apprehend who's coming in the door, what are they doing, are they going to join our circle, are they going past us? Do you see how that happens? Right? We want to do that. That's when the mind isn't at home. The mind has just jumped across the room to the door. Do you see it? I remember, I had the opportunity, some of you know this, to live in India. And I lived in a monastery. I hung out with all the monks and stuff. And one day we were walking on a very narrow footway in the Himalayan region. And I have the tendency, because I'm a visual artist, to want to look at this and look at that. You know, that's how I experience my world, being a visual artist. And he said, they call me Noria there. I use it as a middle name here. It's like, Noria, your mind is not at home. Your mind is not at home. Be careful. An intruder can come in when your mind is not at home. So my mind goes there. And then all of a sudden there's a vacant sign. Something else can come in without my even knowing it. It's very interesting. Have you ever noticed you've left the house in a good mood and for no good reason, by the time you get to your office space or your classroom, you just feel ick? Or you're just agitated? Why do you think that is? The mind left its home. An intruder came in. We're in a world of vibration. We're in a world of vibration. Not to speak of the computer stuff that's going all around here, right? You don't think we're picking some of that up? People's thoughts have a lot of vibration and power to them. We may not even have to look at them, but they can go. We feel something, don't we? Mm-hmm. Or they're looking at us. Right? A scowl, or they can smile, and all of a sudden we feel different. Intruders. It's good to be at home. Just be at home. So I'd ask for you to, if you feel comfortable doing so, if not, your glance can just be down towards the ground, although this is a very busy pattern. I don't know about that. And just lightly close the eyes. You can leave them slightly hooded if you want a little light to come in. You know, if that makes you feel safer, that's good. And it's good just to let the breath come down. As you breathe in, maybe let it flow down to your feet. Can you feel your feet? And let the line of breath, as you breathe in, flow to the top of your head. And as you breathe out, let it flow from the top of the head down to the bottom of the feet. You know, kind of like a gentle breeze or a wave, very gently lapping on the shore. Everything with ease, everything open, everything settled. I'm going to make a sound. Let the sound come to you. Don't reach out to make the sound. It's going to be the clanging of two metal pieces together that will have a vibration. Let the vibrational waves come to you and just calm you. Just breathe in through the feet to the top of the head and breathe out back down to the feet. And with each breath, let each inhalation, while not being forced, quite full, breathing in. When you get to the top of your breath, take a few little extra sips of air and then breathe out and release everything. And we just want to see how our thoughts can affect us. Think of something that makes you feel just utter joy and watch your breath. How does it feel? How do you feel? Do you have a strong sensation in a certain part of your body with joy? And now let joy transform into contentedness, being content. How does that feel? How does the breath feel? You notice a change? If so, what is it? Concentrate on that. Join everything with meditation. Keep the mind at home. Concentration is on feeling content. And now what happens if I say, what does it feel like to be angry? Watch the breath. Feel the energy in your body. Watch your body. Now, go to peace. Feel peace. I'm at peace. I'm at calm. Calm, and I'm at peace. And let's just take a moment. I'll ask you to open your eyes, and if you feel comfortable, can you share your experience? Did you notice a difference? Okay. Anyone want to put that in words? Because we all probably felt similar things. It's our conditioning makes us respond to different things in different ways, so it might be slightly different.
I felt blocked when I thought of anger.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it felt shallow.
The breath tends to get shallow. We may feel constricted. We may retract. And when you were in happiness or when you were in joy, how did that feel?
That was my spine.
Okay.
I felt stuff coming up
tingle.
My spine to the back of my
mm-hmm.
head. Yeah.
Good. Anyone else?
I feel a lot lighter.
Lighter.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting? Just a little bit, it shows you how quickly just our thoughts can change everything. Isn't it amazing? In a very short period of time, we go through those different emotions. So it's good to watch what we're telling ourselves and what we let come in from what other people are telling us. And it's almost like we want to constantly replace those thoughts. So here's an example. I'm personally going through a great challenge with someone that in the past I've worked with. I've since decided to sever that relationship. But here's the situation. What blessing can I derive from it? What have I learned about myself? What have I learned about boundaries? And what blessing that person maybe has given me in that, you see? So all of a sudden, anything that would make me feel angry or irritated, or as if I want to reject that person, I can feel compassion. I can feel I understand myself better. There's a value to that, right? So it's always about training the mind, turning the mind. Even if it's something really not good, we can constantly turn our mind and see another facet of value to it. Okay? I'm going to hand these out later, but it's one of the verses. It says, when I encounter those of bad nature, overwhelmed by strong misdeeds and sufferings, I shall hold them dear, as I had discovered a precious treasure difficult to find. Why is that? Because I don't want to be angry and constricted all the time. I want to be open. I want to see what potential's in that experience, learn from it, and just move on. I don't want to hold on to it, catalog it some way, so that when someone says anger, it arises. I want to transform it. I want to transform it into understanding. I want to transform it into joy. I want to transform it into wisdom. You see? Does that make sense? That's what meditation does. It's constantly training the mind back to that point, that point, that point. They say, let me just say one more thing, which I love. It's another saying. It's like, Whatever invokes resentment, meditate on that. How's that one? Right? I mean, how do you think the Dalai Lama might feel, having left his country when he was a teenager and never really being able to go home again? Have you ever seen his face, even on a video or DVD? Oh, he's never not met a friend. How do you do that? How do you do that? And how do you meet thousands of your countrymen and women every day? Not every day, excuse me, every week though, that have been beaten, imprisoned, tortured. How do you do that and still smile and reach out to another human being unless you can transform it? And from one perspective, we can say, oh my gosh, it's so terrible, what's going on? Another perspective, it's like, ah, we don't know. That's our limited point of view. Maybe that's exactly what needed to happen so those teachings could come out of that isolated land and spread all over the world. Point of view. It's training the mind. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. The hidden blessings.
Absolutely. What is that which is transpiring behind that which appears? What is that which is transpiring behind that which appears?
I just had a conversation with a student of mine who's written a play and is talking about how involved we get with gun control or whatever kinds of issues there are. And she said, are we so focused on that we forget to see what other things are important? And it's really what you're saying right now is we get so involved in those and we get tied up because they're negative, but maybe there's something else back there that we're not seeing because we're so tied up with that
right.
other thing.
Have you ever seen people at a peace rally or march, how worked up they can be? Seriously.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to watch that. I mean, there are certainly times to get worked up and agitated. I remember another thing that I remember, you know, I was, Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, you know, it was gone to where Gandhi was, you know, assassinated or murdered. Many times, because it's so touching for me to walk in those footsteps that he took up to that knoll where he was, someone bent down and then said, Ram, Ram, God, God, and shot him, killed him. But he does, you know, it's always about harmlessness. It's about finding peace. It's about finding that way. It's about a kind of passive resistance that isn't aggressive. But there is one quote that's very pronounced there, and he said, If her virtue is being attacked, she should use her nails, she should use her teeth, she should use her fist, she should use her feet, she should whatever means she needs to protect herself. So it's not a this or that. It's where is the appropriateness? I'm not saying, hey, everything is beautiful. No, sometimes it's not. And you have to be upset about that to change things too. Right? But it's knowing how to direct the energy and not being disturbed in one's mind while one's doing it to activate the change. It's taking anger and transforming it into some sort of activism that can be productive, not harmful. It's not shaming others while we succeed or get ahead or, right? So this is what I think is good about meditation. It's good about the teachings. I'm going to leave these with you, and maybe we can read through them before the end of class. And when is it? At 2?
10 till.
10 till, okay. And ours is at?
2.
2, okay. I have another class I'm going to if anyone wants to mind. Well, I shouldn't probably say that. Is it open? Okay, sorry. I'm a very inclusive person, so. So let's go back to the breath. Notice with eyes closed, if you, even though the eyes are closed, cast your glance downward as if you're looking at the ground, but your eyes are closed. Feel the energy in your body. Now look up like you're looking to the ceiling. Feel the energy in your body. What did you feel? Did you feel the flow of energy move? Could you feel it?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? This is why those amazing churches have those ceilings like that. We look up and we feel elevated. if you're connected with the Native American tradition where you go in the kiva, you crawl down, you get small, you go into like the earth or a cave, you feel contained. Just by changing where your eyes go, you can feel different. Isn't it amazing? Very subtle energy. You can just do this and your energy lifts up. Your countenance will change. Yeah. Perfect. And it should, we should be adaptable. You see, I'm taking you in and then all of a sudden say something. You should be able to do that. Very flexible. Elasticity is another virtue of meditation. Switch, being able to switch gears very quickly when you need to. You don't get stuck somewhere. You can use the breath, it'll change it. Okay, let's try something else. Close off your right nostril and breathe through the left. It may be a little stuffed up, but talk to it, it'll open up. Notice what's happening in your body. Notice how the mind feels. You know, if there are any pictures, images that come up, notice that. Color, you might see color or feeling tones. Be aware. Be aware. Does one side or the other of the body feel more alive? You notice, are you thinking? Are you feeling? Now allow the both nostrils to become open. And now close off the left nostril and breathe through the right. If it's a little stuffy, it'll open up. Notice the body. Notice if the thoughts, feelings are different. Then relax and breathe through both nostrils. Anyone wish to share? Did you notice anything different?
Inside of my body, the side that was closed felt a little heavier.
Okay, on the side that was closed felt heavier. Okay, so this one maybe felt a little more alive, as if energy was flowing. Very good to notice. Yeah, I mean, it's good that you are aware of that. Anyone else feel anything?
Relaxed, the side of the body that did not have the air going.
Okay, so it was resting.
It was resting.
Yeah.
The other side was filled with energy.
Very interesting. I bet you if you tuned in, maybe you others felt that way. Now here's something very interesting about the body. Remember when I said this side's active, the right side? It's solar. It's like the sun. It radiates. Okay, so if your breath is in the right nostril or you make it go in the right nostril, it's going to be good for teaching when you're trying to get a point across at a meeting. Right? You're going to radiate, right? If you're receiving information, you're a student, maybe even if it's a really kind of challenging subject, you just sit there. No one's going to know. You're going to be like the moon. You're going to be absorbing the light of the sun. You're going to be absorbing and taking in. You're going to be reflective, right? And open. So I always watch that, because I have the tendency to be very solar, you know, like I push a lot of energy out, you know. So when I'm meditating, or here's the other thing, when I go to the hospital and I walk into a really sick person's room, I want to be radiating. I don't want to be receptive. I don't want to be in the, I'll notice. I'll get myself in my right breath, in my right nostril. So I'm radiating energy and not absorbing something. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? There's a science to this. This isn't like hoogee-woogee stuff. This is real. This is old age stuff. This isn't new age stuff. You know what I mean? This is like real, like the old mystics of years ago, they understood this. I'm giving you just a little hint today, a little taste.
You know, I'm really receptive to colors that appear to me.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting because breathing through the left nostril is golden, orange, and purple. And through the right nostril, orange and olive green.
Interesting.
They were just really, they were different, similar but different.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't know what, I didn't have a favorite, but...
Yeah, but it sounds that also one of my very first teachers would explain that when you notice those certain colors, those are like the various energy centers, which I think you know something about, are activated. So you might pay attention. Those are like those different notes are being struck. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that even in your everyday existence, like you all of a sudden you're attracted to a color. Have you ever noticed that? Like, and then you start to see it everywhere. Like, oh my God, you have that color and you have that. It might be because something energetically, you might want to do a little research on that, on the chakras at C-H-A-K-R-A-S. But they're centers, and each center represents a part of our consciousness. It's good to be able to, it's good if they're all on, of course, but it's always good to be able to tune to some of those centers if you need certain things that you're calling upon. Japanese businessmen understand this very well. They use this center. Anyone that studied Tai Chi or those kind of martial arts know how important Chi is, the center, the Hara center. They will purposefully, in meetings, like connect that breath through that center. It's very important to know what's going on. Or if you feel someone, you know, like sometimes people don't need words, but they just need acceptance or they just need love. Can you just use your heart and breathe through that to make them feel that? Sometimes kindness. I was doing a meditation, I do them once every so often, and I said, we were talking about kindness, and we were using a word that represents kindness, but it's symbolic. And people started to cry, because I think people don't often feel the world is necessarily kind to them, and they need that. Well, if we're not getting it from the world, give it to yourself. My grandmother had a great practice. She was the third of in a family of 10, and those older than her were boys in an Italian family, born in Italy, who then came to the U.S. I don't know if you know what that means at all, but you know, she tended to be marginalized a little bit, right? And she was also very known for, she was very beautiful woman, very like Time Magazine and Life Magazine did things on her. And I said to her, I didn't dare call her grandma or granny or nana or whatever. I called her by her name because she just never seemed like her grandmother. And I said, Anne, I would like to know, why are you so beautiful? And she said, do you want to really know my secret? I said, yeah. She says, come here, I'll show you. She went. And she sat down. I don't know if anyone's grandmothers or great-grandmothers had those vanities with the mirrors like this, right? And she sat there, and she had a little table that, like, kind of her dressing table that was there. And she looked at herself in the mirror, and she would just look so adoringly at herself. And she said, "I love you, and you're beautiful." She says, "I do that every day." And you know, it's really interesting how people change. And if you tell other people that and really mean it, they change.
In the same way.
You're this and that. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right. And maybe we have been told that. But now we can train our own mind. What's ugly? What's beautiful? Oh my God, I've seen some of the ugliest stuff that I think is the most interesting and beautiful stuff in the world. What is that? What defines that for anybody? Everyone has their own beauty, their own radiance. Everyone's handsome, you know? Right? We all have that. We're just by the very fact that we're here, we have that birthright. So we return to the breath. Now before we leave, I'd like to give just this little meditation that you can take with you. And I do this meditation a lot at the grocery store, in traffic. So we're going to go through the three phases of this little meditation. And you, hopefully, if it's of value to you, you'll use it. And if it's not, we'll just think this was slight entertainment for 50 minutes or so. So breathe in. Feel yourself feel yourself. And just, in a way, it's like, where is the self? It's a good question. Because in some ways, it's just a vibration of consciousness that's taken this form for a little while. This form, in some ways, came out of nothingness and will return to nothingness. But what remains? An energy once created is never destroyed. We can feel the breath filling this vessel, but we know that that's the same breath that reaches around this room and connects with each other and connects with the whole universe. Our world is only as small as our mind. Our universe is as large as our mind. So wish for yourself. May I be filled with great happiness and abiding peace. And as you breathe in, just wish that for yourself. May I be filled with unceasing joy, kindness, and peace. And when we breathe out, may I radiate joy, kindness, and peace. You can make it your own words. There's no prescription. Just give to yourself on the in-breath. And don't push out, but just radiate. Let it be who you are that just by your very presence gives that back through the breath. And you can change these words whenever you need them. May I be filled with light and life. May I be filled with energy. May I be filled with concentration. Whatever you need, you can just pick it up from that magic vibration in the universe, like plucking the right string to resonate within. Now think of someone that's been very loving and kind to you in life. It may be a person, but it could be your pet. It could be a special place in nature that's been just offered you so much comfort, so much peace, so much kindness and love. Think of that being, think of that place, and do the same thing. May you be filled with the happiness and the kindness that you give. May it flow through you. And see them or the creature or the place or the person before you as if you're just letting through your being stream this wish that they may be filled with happiness and kindness. That which they give, they also receive. Now that part might be easy, but what about the stranger that we pass in the hallway? Or what about the person that's sitting in rush hour traffic next to us? Or what about the person behind us or in front of us in a grocery line? We can just use that time for meditation. What a great gift. May you be filled and blessed with happiness and peace. I am like you. I want to feel safe. I want to feel content. I want to be fulfilled. You are another person. I know you want those same things. May you have them. May you have them. This is someone we feel completely neutral towards. They're a stranger, but we still wish that for them. We're all interconnected. What a wonderful thing, because guess what? When you're generating those thoughts and offer them in the breath towards another person, you feel them yourself. You feel them yourself, so while you're giving to another, you're also giving to yourself. And you see, every other living creature wants the same thing. From the little mosquito, to the ant, to even the cockroach, the snake, the human being, the trees, we all want to be able to have our space, our place. We want to be happy. We want to feel free. We want to be content. Can feel that. This may be the challenging one, but the practice isn't complete unless we can try to do it. So think about somebody that just really gets your goat, irritates you, or makes you mad, or someone that you've been having a fight with. Can you see them there before you? You know they're not unlike you. They also are seeking happiness and peace and joy and a place in the world. They're not different. They may act different. You may not like it, but still, they also want to feel happy. They want to be at home. They want to feel love and kindness. Wish that for them. You can keep them at a distance. You can send it where you feel safe. They're over there. I'm going to read a little prayer. You don't need to grasp the... You feel the vibration. You don't need to grasp the words. I'm going to hand these out to everyone. This is a prayer that is often said in large congregations or in an individual practice. I say a version of this myself. At the time I do something good, a good day in a classroom, a good deed I've done to someone, for someone, being helpful, instead of feeling proud, oh, how good am I can say this. May all beings enjoy happiness and the root of happiness. I offer it. May we be free from suffering and the root of suffering. May we never be separated from the great happiness that is free of suffering. May we dwell in the great equanimity, free of passion, aggression, and prejudice. The Buddha himself taught his son about these lines. He said, Rahula, who was his name, practice loving kindness to overcome anger. So if you're feeling angry about something, think about loving kindness. Loving kindness means the wish for another person to feel at home, to be at peace, to be calm. Loving kindness has the capacity to bring happiness to others without demanding anything in return. If we're bartering, we're not giving loving kindness. Practice compassion to overcome cruelty. Compassion, loving kindness is a little bit different. There are different levels here. Loving kindness is just the wish for everyone to be happy. Compassion is this wish for them to be completely devoid of all suffering in their lives. It's a different level. Do you hear the difference? Okay. Practice compassion to overcome cruelty. Compassion has the capacity to remove the suffering of others without expecting anything in return. Practice sympathetic joy. When someone gets something more than you, better than you, a better grade, better boyfriend, better girlfriend, husband, wife, house, job, sympathetic joy. I'm not jealous of you. I'm so happy for you. Practice sympathetic joy to overcome hatred. I would also say envy, jealousy, all those feelings, which do us, they so diminish us. They really do. They so diminish us. I'm not above it. I have to practice it all the time so I don't feel it, because I feel that constriction. I feel that constriction. It makes me smaller. Makes me smaller. Okay. Practice sympathetic joy to overcome hatred. Sympathetic joy arises when one rejoices over the happiness of others and wishes others well-being and success. Practice non-attachment to overcome prejudice. That's an interesting one. Non-attachment to overcome prejudice. I like that person, I don't like that person. I'm attached to them because they make me feel good. I try to reject them because they remind me of something I don't like. You see it? Can be very subtle. Can be with food too. Sometimes it's good just to practice that. I'm not going to eat that thing I want just because, can I discipline myself? Or I'm going to eat that thing that tastes bitter to me. Can I discipline myself without being attached? Ooh, yay, right? Non-attachment is a way of looking at all things openly and equally. This is because that is cause and effect, right? Myself and others are not separate. I do not reject one thing only to chase after another. I stay at home. I call these the four immeasurables. Practice them and you will become a refreshing source of vitality and happiness for others. Who wouldn't want that? Right? When you walk in the room, it's like, you know, I don't know, do they still play Cheers at night or on Nick at night or something where you, hey, Vern, you know, or whatever his name, Norm. You know, it's like everybody's welcoming you instead of like, they're here, right? Okay, so we'll make this time together. Let's offer, if there was anything here of merit, anything that benefited any of you or helped just a little bit or made you learn something a little different or new, let's offer that for all sentient beings, past, present, and future. They say by doing that, I've been told, I had another monk say, that's like, you know, saving it to your drive, you know, it's like, because they do say, it's like the seal on the practice, and it helps you accumulate merit. If you don't do it, they say the moment anger arises, all of what you've done is erased. One of the worst things is anger. I'm an Italian, I have to work on that, you know. It's like I tell my students, you're in the 20 Soprano School of Design. What are you talking about?
So can you say that one more time? So when you end it,
you seal it by offering it your anything that you, any wholesomeness, any good. And you know, that's even like serving a meal to people that they've enjoyed. You know, it's like so great if they appreciate it. Of course you can take it in, but it's like, oh, you know, think about all the people that are hungry. May all those beings that are hungry, that don't have a roof over their head, that are cold, may they all be warm, may they all have food. I offer my efforts in cooking this meal to all those beings, to all beings. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Universal energy.
It's giving it back, it's like offering it back, and you know, so I mean, I have to watch that myself because, you know, I do a lot of stuff to help other people and I don't want to feel proud about it. I want to feel like this is what I'm doing because I have the capacity to do it, I have the intelligence to do it, and so not to feel proud, I'll remind myself, I offer this merit to all beings. May they all benefit from it. May all people have this ability to give or the ability to receive, and may the right person show up to give it when they need it. You know, just whatever your words are, you can use some of these words here, but it's just good to always kind of make everything a little bit of a prayer. You know, every bit of a prayer, and practice kindness wherever we can. Because that tendency is, you know, if someone's really mean to me at the grocery store, I'll always say, I find something nice to say. You know, like, I like the color of your hair, or you're so efficient, or, you know, isn't it a beautiful day out? Or, you know, something like, I like your earring, that's a cool ring, you know, I'm telling you, just a little bit of a connection, or even sometimes, you doing okay today? Is everything okay? Sometimes it's not. It's like, well, you know, I just hope it gets better. It will get better. You know, just tuning in a little bit is a good idea. Not imposing. You sometimes have to watch when to say it and when to not. You know, it's the Kenny Rogers, knowing when to hold it and knowing when to fold it and knowing when to walk away, right? So it's just being mindful. Keep the mind at home.
So in terms of meditation, you know, is your philosophy you can meditate throughout?
You should. Life should be your meditation. But here's the deal. You have to practice a long time. It's like to be a skillful athlete at any moment, like, oh, get up there and do those flips. Well, you better have practiced a whole lot of times before you get up and try to do that flip, right? And I think what happens is, you know, they talk about the time on the cushion is really important, you know, meaning the time in meditation. And it's been my personal experience, because I do meditation retreats and camps and stuff with people, and people can get in a very elevated state. And then one of the things that I always try to do is make sure they get a little bit more contracted, so they're not going to go wreck their car or, you know, give all their money away or do crazy stupid stuff, which people can do, right? Right? Or fall in love with somebody that they really wouldn't fall in love with otherwise because their heart's open. You know, we have to be sensible about it too. But it's like that time. You know, I liken it to a rubber band. You know, like when you first do this with a rubber band, it goes bang, it goes right back. So, right, you're meditating, you're feeling it, you get off the cushion, the phone rings, bam, you're right back to where you know. But slowly what happens, you know, like if you play with elastic and you're, you know, whatever, eventually it kind of just stays. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. That space starts to expand and it becomes a little more seamless. And here's the thing, when I was taught how to do, I don't know if anyone's ever seen people do the prostrations, you know, where you do this and you stretch out. It's a great body yoga, by the way. You get in great shape. You straighten it flat out on the body and you come back and you stand straight up. My teacher said to me, my Tibetan Buddhist meditation teacher, great, great Lama, he's one of the teachers of the Dalai Lama himself. He says, you meditate on all the people you love and that are kind to you. All of nature, all of the animals, everything, beautiful trees, flowers, you know, all the stars, the moon. You see all that around you and you're praying. You're like you're the chant master for them. But before you, the one you're prostrating to is your enemy. Can you imagine? The person that really makes you mad, the one that's hurt you the most, or group of people, or whatever, I said, oh, why? He said, because it's those people that give you the opportunity to practice, not the people that are kind to you. That's, remember at the beginning I said, whatever provokes resentment, join that with meditation. Not like you waller in it, but it's like you see the value in it and you can kind of tame your mind to be more agile around it, flexible, like we were with the meditations. I'm here, I can be really angry about it, I can release it and I can do something else. I'll go back to it when I need to, you know, a little bit. It's not mamby-pamby, it's not forget it, you know, again, a kumbaya, that kind of thing. It's training the mind not to keep in a ditch that's keeping you down. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that idea of sort of how constrained we feel by anxiety, that creates illness, physical illness in the body.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
That creates a disharmony. Mm-hmm. You know, the vibratory pattern. So on one side are those four immeasurables, and the other one are the eight verses of training the mind, which I think if you read them, you'll find very illuminating. You're welcome. Oh, I love it. Thank you for inviting me, and I hope it was worthwhile. Sure, of course. And I hope you can use it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're interested in other things, like I said, I do things once a month. I no longer do them once a month. I've gotten very busy, so I'm doing them less. But I have a website. This isn't the... If you just Google my name, Stephanie Sabato, stephaniesabato.com. There's a place there where some of the meditations we did as a group are there, and I'll post this also, and if you're interested, I can send you the link, but you have to email me, stephaniesabato@jccc.edu, okay? And I can send you a link to that if you want interested in hearing this again or other meditations, okay?
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I love that you brought in quotes from lots of different religions or spiritual practices. I love that you did that. You were inclusive. Thank you.
I think it's, you know, I really think we're all heading towards the same goal. We just drive different cars.
Absolutely. Absolutely.